you, worship team, for leading us in praise and worship. Today is, as we have said, it's Family Sunday, and so we are preparing. The title of the message today is It's Time for School. We'll get to that in a moment. But before we do that, if Miss Diana would come, and if Ish and James would come as well. So we have our children's church that is for kindergarten through sixth grade, but there's a transition that happens. Come on up here, guys. You're good. There's a transition that happens at fifth grade. Once they're done with fifth grade and move into sixth grade, that is a time where for that sixth grade year, they are able to, as it's move up day for the youth group, their sixth graders are in this spot of moving into middle school and moving into youth group age, but yet also going for children's church with the purpose of serving and coming alongside those who are teaching and helping and the other students to be servers and to be leaders in that time. So it's a great way for them to be equipped in leadership and in serving. And so we just want to say thank you to James and to Ish. They are finishing sixth grade and they're heading into seventh grade. So as new folks are moving up, they're moving out of Children's Church. So we want to thank them for all they've done in the last year. And Miss Diana has a card and a thanks for you guys. So let's give them a round of applause this morning. Thank you, Miss Diana, and thank you, James and Ish. We appreciate your service to the kids and to the Lord in that way. For everyone this morning, we're going to look at a couple of passages this morning. The first is in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 12. So if you have, find Matthew, Mark, and then Luke chapter 12. With this topic today of it's time for school. Now, when I was in school, when I was school age, this message would be for all the kids, but it's going to be for adults as well. There's going to be application for all of us and a way to apply it and engage at the end of the service this morning. But when I was in school, my mom, every morning, would come in when it was time to get up for school, and she would rip open the blinds, and she would start to sing, "Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, rise and shine and give God the..." Now, when I was younger, I was like, "Hey, you know." As I got older, it didn't stop. And as I got older, it wasn't as funny. But when I got older, it still did the job. Because whether I wanted to get up and go to school, it was, it's time for school. Whether I wanted to get up or not, I was getting up because the blinds were up, the sunlight was coming in, and there was a song being sung over me. There was no way that I was staying asleep after that. It was very, very effective. And so this morning, that's the only time you have to hear me sing. So be encouraged with that. But this morning as we come, and school is about to start, I'm sure, especially among students and families, that there are various feelings in the room this morning. That there are those feelings, some are excited, they can't wait for the first day of school. There's others that are a little nervous, if they're being honest. They're nervous about a new school year. Maybe it's even a time where they're moving into a new school building, into a whole new realm of schooling. Others may be a little fearful or a little anxious. And others may be flat out upset and mad that school is starting this week. So no matter where you find yourself and where families find themselves, I hope this morning, my purpose this morning is I would sort of open the blinds and let the light shine in of this reality of another school year that's about to shine in on your lives, and to share a few thoughts and a few pieces of encouragement and challenge as you prepare, students and parents prepare for another school year. And as I said, for those not going to school, I don't want you to sit there and go, "Well, okay, whatever. This is going to be how long until I'm done with this, because this doesn't apply to me," if you're not school age or have school age children. But I want to encourage everyone to listen for the lessons that will be applied specifically to school children and families, but would be applicable to everyone. And I want you to listen, because at the end, we're going to have opportunity to pray for students and for families. I want everyone to engage in this. And so these are specific ways that you can be praying for students and for families. There'll be some other prayer requests that you can have. So we're going to end in that prayer ministry time. So that's where we're going this morning. So three lessons, three thoughts that are encouragements and challenges for us this morning. The first is this. And there are sermon notes in the activity bins and also sermon notes in the bulletins to follow along. The first lesson is this. For children and parents and for all of us, to see school as a privilege. To see school as a privilege. Now, if you're school age, you may be going, school? Privilege? What in the world are you talking about? To put those words in the same sentence. So I want to give a little perspective real quick. In our country, in the United States, elementary school age, so this is kindergarten to fifth grade, according to educateddata.org, there are 35.5 million elementary school children in the United States. Now, that is in public school, in private school, homeschool, cyber school, whatever it is, there are 35.5 million elementary age children in the United States of America. Now, keep that in perspective for a moment, because here's why education and school is a privilege. Worldwide, and even with some of the stuff in Afghanistan, there's probably going to be more numbers added to this with many refugees and people fleeing more in a fresh way. There are 58 million children worldwide in that same age group without education access. So that is all of the children in the United States once, and a little over half of them, adding up a second time, that do not have the privilege of going and getting an education. And that's just elementary school. You add on to that, if they're not having elementary school education, likely as they're getting older, what would be middle school and then what would be high school and all those kinds of things, it just is going to compound over time. There are that many elementary school children, all of the elementary school children in all of the United States, and a second time around, more than half of them added on, don't have the privilege. There's all kinds of things that are connected to things like poverty, things like health, things like the ability to get good jobs, and all of these things that would point to the reality that for every single person who has the opportunity to go to school, it is an absolute privilege. I know I didn't always look at it that way. I didn't always look at school as an absolute privilege, but the more I understand, the more I realize it is a privilege to be able to do that. And so, if you're familiar with Spider-Man, fill in the blank as Peter Parker's uncle said these words to him, "With great power comes what? Great responsibility." Right. "With great power comes great responsibility." Spider-Man. Now, I want to tweak that a little bit and say this. With great privilege comes great responsibility. With great privilege comes great responsibility. Jesus, in Luke chapter 12, in the context of he is talking about being watchful for his return. Jesus is going to come back. And he was telling his disciples, be ready, be watching for my return. And he tells them a parable about servants who, while the master is off at a wedding banquet, they were prepared for his return. They didn't know whether he was going to come back at 9 o'clock or at midnight or at 3 or 4 in the morning. They didn't know. But what they knew is that when the master came back from the wedding banquet, they needed to be ready. And Jesus' point in his parable about them, about this, is that they have a responsibility. They have tasks that they were given. The servants have tasks given by their masters that they needed to be busy at, that they needed to be responsible at. And he says this at the end in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, second half. He says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." You know, I know in Children's Church, the last several weeks, You've been talking about what? The return of who? Do you remember if you were here for Children's Church? The return of who? Anybody? The return of who? Say it loud. Jesus, right? Okay, can we all say it together? The return of who? Jesus. So the last several weeks have been about the return of Jesus in Children's Church. And so in that, this is a fresh reminder and application for you that one of the things as you are heading off to school, it is the opportunity to be and to take that responsibility, that privilege of education, and to give yourself fully to it. It's one of the things that Jesus has entrusted you with, to be prepared and to be ready for his return, that this is one of the privileges that you guys have. And so parents, we could be encouraging our kids as they, I don't know if I want to. This is a privilege. This is an opportunity that you have been given to use it responsibly, to use it well. Even if they have a healthy body and ability to learn, all of those things are privileges to use them well. School is a privilege. So the first lesson, say it with me. School is a what? Okay, say it like you believe it. School is a what? Privilege. All right. Second lesson is this. Study hard. When I was growing up, there was a man in our church by the name of Bill Taylor. And Bill Taylor wore this bright red hat, and it had the letters C-O-A-C-H on it. What does it spell? Coach. Coach. He was told when he was beginning of the ministry I'm going to tell you about, that he was to be a coach coming alongside the lives of students. And he took that very, very seriously. Got this hat, coach, and every morning of every school year, every school day, he would drive all the way around his neighborhood, up and down the streets to bus stop after bus stop after bus stop. He had it down to the T. He knew when every bus was about to pick the children up, he was there right before them. And he would fly up there in his car, and he would put it in park, and he would run out. He was doing this still in his mid-80s, running out, and he would come to them, and he would pray for them. He would pray for the students, and he would pray for the families, as there were parents at the bus stops too, praying that the children would have a good day and that they would know that Jesus loved them. How about that for a ministry? When I was in middle school, guess who my Sunday school teacher was? It was Coach. And every single Sunday, he would start, and then he would go on for about 15 minutes before we ever got to the Sunday school curriculum. And he would say, talk to me and quote with me 2 Timothy 3:15. Now, he used the King James Version. And to this day, if somebody says 2 Timothy 2 or 3:15, I can say, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, who rightly divideth the word of truth. Now, what in the world does that mean? If you're saying, I don't understand all those words, here's what 2 Timothy 3:15, if you want to turn with me for a moment, we'll go back to that. If you're in Luke, turn back. You have John, then you have Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Thessalonians, and then 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:15. In what I use today, the NIV, it says, or 2 Timothy, you know what? I got the wrong number up there. 2:15. Sorry about that. If you caught that, you're way ahead of me. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Just like Coach drilled into me that verse every single week, Paul drilled into his young Timothy, his young student Timothy, to study the Bible diligently so that he could offer himself to God as a worker or as a student who had been approved, one who had done their very, very, very best in everything that they had in the study of God's word, so that he would not have to feel bad in any situation and go, oh, I wish I had worked a little harder, prepared a little bit more, gone to school with my homework done, or be ready for that test, whatever it is, that he would be ready because he knew the word of God. He could explain the word of God. And so in our spiritual lives, that's why we study the Bible on a regular basis. That's why we come to church and to children's church. That's why we look into the Word of God together. But it's also why we work hard in everything that we do, in scripture study and in school study. Paul said it this way also in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. So even going to school, we're doing it not for the grade. We're doing it not for the teachers. We're not even doing it for our parents. We're not even doing it fully for ourselves. We're doing it for who? We're doing it for God. We're doing it for Him. So whether you are studying the Bible so that you can know and serve God, or whether you are studying math or science or language arts so you're prepared for whatever career the Lord would lead you into and to be a productive member of society as well, study and work hard. It's not always easy, and it may not be what you want to do, but it's what God asks of us. It's what He calls us to work at everything we do as to the Lord, studying and working hard. We're doing it for Him. So, first lesson is, see school as what? A privilege. Second lesson is, study hard. Third lesson. And that is, as you go, let your light shine. If you're in 2 Timothy, make your way back to the book of Matthew, to Matthew chapter 5. This is where we'll conclude the message this morning. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. This is Jesus as He was preaching His Sermon on the Mount, one of his most famous sermon, most likely. And He says this to the people who were listening, His disciples and those who were gathering there. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus said of Himself, He said, "I am the light of the world." And so if you have received Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, He lives in you by the Holy Spirit, and He causes you to be the light of the world. Him in you causes you to be the light of the world. It's kind of like this lightsaber. Now, this lightsaber on its own has no light to give until you hit the button and the light shines through it. It's the light in it that shines up that causes this light to be a lightsaber. If it wasn't, it would just be a saber. All right, bad joke, right? It's a saber that becomes a, say it with me, lightsaber. Why? Because there's light in it that shines up. And in the same way, Jesus causes you, if you are a follower of Him, to be the light of the world. Not because you are light, but because He is light. And as He lives in you and shines through you, He enables you to be the light of the world. So whether you're going to work or in the neighborhood or going to school, whether you're going out to have activities with friends, no matter where you are at in school, Jesus lives in you. And so because Jesus lives in you, if you've received Jesus as your Savior, and if you haven't, today would be a great day to receive Jesus as your Savior. Jesus lives in you. And our role is in the places that we go. If you're heading into school, or you're heading into relationships, friendships, whatever it may be, is to let Jesus shine His light through you. To shine His love through you. To shine His peace through you. His hope through you. His joy through you. His healing through you to those in your school or wherever you may go. he says this, and we're going to sing about it in a minute. He says, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill up high cannot be hidden. He says, neither do people put a lamp under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light. And so in the same way, Jesus says, let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Why is Jesus saying this? If you are the light of the world, because it's possible to hide the light of Jesus from shining through you. How might that happen? Well, it might happen because the light of Jesus in our lives gets covered over because in an ongoing way we are making choices to sin. Jesus is in you, but if you continue and you know what's wrong and you continue to be disobedient because you're saying to your parents, I want to do what I want to do, then the light of Jesus can be hidden and covered over. If there are other habits or other practices in your life that are not pleasing to him, the light of Jesus can be covered over by those sinful practices. There may be other times when we allow fear, especially if somebody is talking about faith and they're like, oh, Christians, for you to be like, oh, I don't really want to be a part because I don't want them to talk about me like that. And so fear or being afraid of others or ashamed of Jesus will keep his light from shining because we'll pull back. We won't let his light shine. Sometimes we may just see somebody in need. Maybe somebody on the playground or somebody that we know of in our lives, or we come across someone in need and we have that opportunity in the moment to step in and to allow the light of Jesus to shine, but we're saying, I don't feel like it, or I don't know if I can. If Jesus is with you, step into it, because as you step into it, the light of Jesus shines. You are the light of the world. You carry Jesus with you. Into this next school year, for all of us, wherever we go, we carry Jesus, so let his light shine through you. So let's look at these lessons and remind ourselves of them again. As we prepare for a new year, it's time for school. See, school is what? Okay, again, we'll say it like we really believe it. See school as what? A privilege. When you go, how do we go about our studying? Study hard. And as you go into spaces, you carry who in you? So what do? We let our light shine. All right. Worship team's going to come. We're going to pray in a moment and spend the last moments in prayer together. But we want to apply this last point together and sing one final song in closing before we pray.
You would please rise to join me in this last song.